Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast, with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We are using our new equipment this week.
It is so crazy.
We got with help from Southern Exposure, the Andy Warhol Foundation, Hewlett and Lori Jenkins Packard, Chevrolet, Super Bowl 50. And listeners like you.
And our moms.
Anyhow, hopefully it sounds good.
If it doesn't sound good, let us know.
And but we'll return this
pretty
shit.
Pretty sure it sounds good. It's sort of weird because I think it almost sounds like it's too good.
We only can hear it out of one ear because we're sharing headphones. Okay, a few episodes ago, I talked mad shit about the curatorial statement at the Wattis.
You sure did.
For the show, I'm Normal. I Have a Garden. I'm a Person. By Carissa Rodriguez. And just now that I'm reviewing my paperwork from this show, I realized that actually the first part of the curatorial, the first paragraph of two paragraphs, was actually a lot more specific.
Right.
Let me just read that first part now. As an artist based in New York City and temporary guest to the West Coast, Rodriguez follows a personal line of inquiry into everyday life in the Bay Area as it is purportedly being reorganized around the interests of technology industries and their constituents. Doesn't get much more specific than that, Mason.
Yeah, pretty good.
Confronted by this distinct contemporary habitus, its lifestyles, tastes, and values, Rodriguez produces a body of photographic work in which relationships between images raise questions about creative life as it plays out publicly and privately.
I think it could have just ended there.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
Then it got into the wishy-washy nonsense. So,
the succulent. I am succulent. That's like a Cafe Gratitude dish.
So what makes life succulent?
Basically, I am succulent. That's cool.
Anyhow, I talked mad shit about that. The last paragraph, which goes into nonsense world. And
but, you know, most people just read that first paragraph anyhow. They just want a little tidbit of info.
I always read backwards.
Oh, really?
I talked mad shit about that, and then we got a letter in from Jackie M.
Yes.
And she said, I just wanted to write in regarding your conversation about wall text, in particular the text at the Wattis. As someone who deplores didactic text, I really enjoy reading the Wattis' text, because it has a voice. It's not institutional, that's in quotes, in the way most museum text is. It's a subjective text. But more to the point about their text that you guys brought up is that it's not descriptive enough of the work, but I would argue that when you're reading their text, you're in the room, my emphasis added.
I'm like, was that all caps or what? No. I doubt it.
The booklet with the text or wall vinyl is but a few feet away from the work. The text is there to illuminate what you can't see, what the curator is thinking in regards to the work, what the curator sees in this work. It's not a text that tells you what to think of it, but rather voicing what it/they think of it, again, a subjective voice. I don't think it's about not caring, but rather thinking thoughtfully and personally about the work. If it doesn't resonate with a viewer, that's okay, because it's not meant to be objective. It's not meant to say, this is what everyone must think, which I think a lot of museum text tends to sound like. So there's that. Thanks, guys. I agree. I agreed with all those points.
Me too.
But my problem with the second paragraph was not that it wasn't, that it didn't edify or didactic enough. It was too vague and general. And I think a lot of art writing that I don't like is vague, and that is the main problem with it. And so I found a little passage in a textbook on critical thinking by John Chaffee.
Do you highly recommend this book?
I think it's pretty good, actually.
All right. Maybe our listeners will have a read.
There's a passage in this book called The Dangers of Ambiguous Language.
Ooh.
Which talks about how a plane crash was caused by people using language that wasn't specific enough. Although our ability to name and identify gives us the power to describe the world in a precise way, often we tend to describe it using words that are imprecise and general. Such general and non-specific words are called vague words. Consider the following sentences. I had a nice time yesterday. That is an interesting book. She is an old person. In each of these cases, the italicized word is vague because it does not give a precise description of the thought, feeling, or experience that the writer or speaker is trying to communicate. A word or group of words is vague if its meaning is not clear and distinct. That is, vagueness occurs when a word is used to represent an area of experience without clearly defining it. Most words of general measurement, short, tall, big, small, heavy, light, and so on, are vague. The exact meanings of these words depend on specific situations.
I just want to know, like, when vagaties or vagueness...
When vague words are.
When vague words are appropriate or
They're never
acceptable.
Appropriate. Never. And they're never acceptable.
Oh, see, I don't agree with that.
Most people use vague language extensively in day-to-day conversations. In many cases, it is natural that your immediate reaction to an experience would be fairly general. That's nice, she's interesting, etc. If you are truly concerned with sharp thinking and meaningful communication, however, you should follow up these initial general reactions by more precisely clarifying what you really mean. I think she is a nice person because. I think she is a good teacher because. I think that this is an interesting class because. Vagueness is always a matter of degree. In fact, you can think of your descriptive slash informative use of language as falling somewhere on a scale between extreme generality and extreme specificity. For example, the following statements move from the general to the specific. She is really smart. She does well in school. She gets straight A's. She got an A in physics. Obviously, we could go to how it's problematic that, like, your grades don't necessarily correlate with your intelligence always.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the idea.
But maybe in science they do.
Although different situations require various degrees of specificity, you should work at becoming increasingly more precise in your use of language. And then they go into how vague language caused a plane crash.
I want to hear about that, briefly.
Basically, it was the protocol that if you don't actually use the term emergency...
Right, then it's not an emergency.
Basically, a pilot was running out of gas in his plane. He was like, I think he was going... from Columbia to New York City, and the pilot was running out of gas, and they had to make an emergency landing, and I think in Boston, and the plane was going to make an emergency landing in Boston because they were running out of gas, and the pilot said, oh, we don't have much gas left, instead of saying, hey, motherfuckers, we have so little gas that we're going to crash if you don't let us land right now. And so they waited so long that they just fucking dropped out of the sky. And that's what will happen to you, listener, if you use vague language. I think this is really good, though, for people that are writing artist statements or poetry or letters.
Or writing anything.
Or any movie reviews.
How about
they also
even
give
talking?
An example in this textbook about movie reviews. Here's an example of a very vague movie review. Pulp Fiction is a really funny movie about some really unusual characters in California. The movie consists of several different stories that connect up at different points. Some of the stories are nerve-wracking and others are hilarious, but all of them are very well done. The plots are very interesting and the main characters are excellent. I like this movie a lot. And to be fair, Maysoon,
I love it.
When I read that, I was like, I'm sure there's been times on the podcast when I reviewed an art show and I sounded just like that.
Oh, yeah.
Except if there's a dick or something, I always make sure to be real specific about that.
There are lots of dicks.
Should we give an example of some very specific poetry?
Do your Tracy K. Smith.
Here is Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Tracy K. Smith reading some poetry at a reading in UC Berkeley.
Some poetry. Do you know the title?
Oh, that wasn't very specific, was it? She'll say the title.
Now I'm
going to
obsessively think about that.
Yeah, good.
Sci-fi. There will be no edges, but curves. Clean lines pointing only forward. History, with its hard spine and dog-eared corners, will be replaced with nuance. Just like the dinosaurs gave way to mounds and mounds of ice. Women will still be women, but the distinction will be empty. Sex, having outlived every threat, will gratify only the mind, which is where it will exist. For kicks, we'll dance for ourselves before mirrors studded with golden bulbs. The oldest among us will recognize that glow, but the word sun will have been reassigned to a standard uranium neutralizing device found in households and nursing homes. And yes, we'll live to be much older thanks to popular consensus. Weightless, unhinged, eons from even our own moon will drift in the haze of space, which will be, once and for all, scrutable and safe.
I went to the Anglim Gilbert Gallery this weekend.
How's that?
There's a show, it's one of the shows celebrating David Ireland.
Ooh.
Is up there. It's a group show. So there's some of his work is in the show. There's a case, a really interesting kind of Formica, trying to get specific here.
Oh, good.
Formica floor standing case with maybe 20 dumbbells in it, which is always really fun to see those dumbbells.
What kind of case? I'm imagining a cooler.
No, like a cooler, it's like it's kind of like book, maybe two shelf bookshelf height, right? So let's say hip, maybe hip height.
Uh-huh.
And it has like a gray, almost Formica paneling on the top and side. And then there's like a plex window.
Oh.
It feels almost
like. Does it stand on the ground?
It stands on the ground. It looks almost, it reminds me almost of like, it's weird to say this, almost like a cigarette, an old school cigarette machine.
Oh, cool. Okay. Except I can envision that.
Instead of cigarettes, it's dumbbells.
Oh,
and
weird.
They're just sitting on the.
And those were the balls, the concrete that he would throw back and forth, supposedly for like hours and hours at a time.
I think he did. I think they got that.
And they're gray.
And they're circles.
And
they're maybe like
about
3-inch diameter.
Yep. Like a softball.
Mm-hmm.
God, we're specific today.
Is okay, it interesting to be so specific, though? I
no,
feel like we're just like.
We just want to be sensational. Okay, go on. What else is in there? Was Gay Outlaw in that one?
Gay Outlaw was in there. She made this incredible felted brick wall.
What?
Sort of small brick wall. Let's say 3 feet by 1 foot.
By, what color was
by
it?
3 feet. Brick color, dude. Red. Dark red.
Shit. Go on.
But it's a felted brick wall.
What do you think about all the hoopla around David Ireland? Do you see somebody somewhere said they are fucking over it?
I don't know if I. It's important to celebrate these in these moments when new spaces open. And although, you know, granted, although the David Ireland House have other work in it? There's a residency program.
Yeah.
Right. So that's good.
Okay. Overall score?
For the Anglim Gilbert?
Out of 10?
I'd give it an 8.
Fantastic. Okay. I went to Control Shift's opening in Oakland. Didn't see any of the work, Mason.
Why,
didn't see a
so,
damn.
It was so jam-packed.
Was packed to the brims. You could hardly walk into the damn place. And the whole time I was just looking for my friend C.A. Greenlee. There was definitely some lovely art. C.A. had a new work called Queen Retinue that was a kind of experimental video where there's like a human, but they're like the queen bee and the other bees are like licking and massaging.
Oh,
it was hot.
Sorry. Wow.
And there was a cool ladder piece that everybody kept almost knocking over.
Was it a big ladder?
Uh-huh.
A short ladder? A tall ladder?
It was a tall ladder with
approximately
like
how many feet?
It was approximately 10 feet, I would say.
That's
or
a pretty tall ladder.
And made out of, I think, like probably PVC or something kind of flimsy underneath.
Mm-hmm. Did it have
flimsy,
ladder rungs or was it just?
It had rungs.
Okay.
I mean, it was a very identifiable ladder. And then I think the PVC or whatever the substructure was covered in kind of different colored foam. And it was very interesting looking. I'm sorry I couldn't really see the whole thing because people were like,
what
all
colors
up in
was
my
the ladder?
Like gray, red, blue.
Have a little bit of yellow.
I don't remember.
Maybe there was some yellow in it too.
Maysoon, I got to get to the point in all this. There were a lot of people there and like established people.
How many
not
people?
Just young. I would say there were about 50 plus people in a pretty small space.
That's a great number of people.
And they just kept they just kept coming and going and
cool. Where is that gallery?
I touched butts. I touched some butts, man. I think it's on like 33rd.
Did you have a touch of butt?
You know I did. It's on like 33rd or 36th Street. Now, keep in mind, this is the collective. It's kind of like real time space where there's, I think, 15 or 16 artists that have studio space there. They also have a gallery and they're going to start a residency program.
Oh, cool. Good for
them.
Yeah,
they're doing the whole deal.
Oh, right. There was an article about them in East Bay Express.
And they were one of the groups that also got an alternative exposure grant this round.
Awesome.
Man, I went there straight from work. I had to take like 17 different fucking buses in the rain. I was really like,
wow, why were you so dedicated to going?
Because it's like, you know, a few of the people that started it are my friends, and it's really cool that like a new space is opening up, and they're young people, and it's just like hope, love, and change.
Yay.
Anyhow, they're having a Kickstarter, so I'll have a link to that down in the underworld. If anybody else has any Kickstarters or anything that they want us to put in any underworlds in the future, past or present, please give us a call. 419.
And we mean anytime. Please give us a call at
419-351-6606. You can also
tweet us.
You can also text that number. Or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Or you can leave a comment. No one ever comments on...
Don't leave a comment.
You can leave a comment.
Just email us if you're going to do that.
At congratulationspinetree.com.
Good work, Kate. That was super specific.
Got a strange rhythm this week. I think a lot of times...
It's a new gear.
A lot of times we would talk over each other, but I don't think we would notice because we couldn't hardly hear each other. What other shows did you go to?
I also went to Capitol Gallery for the first time ever.
They have some issues because their programming has been all white. Every show they've had has been white people.
I imagine this one was also, but I don't actually know. It was Ruth Lasky.
Who's
a textile artist.
A friend of mine has been calling them out on Instagram about it. Shoot, I didn't give a score to Control Shift.
Oh.
10 out of 10.
Wow.
Didn't see a single piece of the work. Hardly saw any of the work, but the feelings were 10 out of 10. But you like the show, huh?
It was okay.
Ruth Lasky,
who is known for her textile work. These were prints that looked just like her textile. They're actually lovely. They were beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it didn't send me off into any kind of deep.
They were textiles. Or,
they were prints.
Prints.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Prints that
what
looked like her textiles. Kind of some off-white beige colors, but then also
they were like abstract,
yes, brighter purples or
geometric
teals,
or swirls, or no swirls. That's nice.
I mean, they were lovely.
And you said the gallery sitter
was her dad, and he was very, very sweet man who was just like, you know, really proud of his daughter, which I just thought was awesome. I'm proud of her too for her dad.
Now that space is really, really small.
It's tiny.
It's like 100 square feet, right? Like, yeah, 10 by 10?
Yes.
Where does the gallery sitter stay?
Well, there's like a stool outside the door.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a stool inside. It's kind of a weird closet area.
Music stand or something?
Nope,
they
can
put
that.
A book on?
It's just a stool.
Is he reading?
He was standing. He had a book on the stool when he stood up.
Oh, that sounds kind of miserable gallery sitting situation.
No.
You got to have a chair and something to put
your
book on.
Well, there's a chair. And then there's a stool.
You
got
to have somewhere to put your book. Anyhow.
It's a tiny, tiny gallery.
Overall score?
7?
That's not bad. No. Above average. I bet we'll never give below a 6.
Probably not.
Well, you're going to stop this scoring thing after this episode.
We probably won't review the ones that are below 6.
Right.
Let's just not do that.
I went to City Limits Gallery over there in Jack London Square and saw The Empty Temple, new work by Bailey Hakawa.
Hmm.
And this was another show. This isn't the first show I've seen. Maybe the second show I've seen where I was like, the only thing this show needs is some live cats.
Wait, what?
Because everything looked like a scratching post.
Oh yeah. Was that the one with the Tower of Toast?
Uh-huh. AstroTurf.
I don't think that bread was toasted. Well, you know what I mean.
I think it was just raw bread. The lighting was all changed. It had those tube lights.
Fluorescent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's for nice,
nice,
even lighting.
The space was very changed for this show. Good job, City Limits. I don't understand why they got all those clocks outside. And also, they have a bar there.
Wow, they're fancy. They sound fancy.
Everyone's young. Oh, no, like a little bar where you can grab like a Pabst or some shit.
Yeah.
Or a Tecate. And a lot of people are young. I always feel old and ugly and irrelevant when I go.
You got to start going to the older galleries, Kate.
Yeah. I don't, well...
Just kidding.
Anyhow, wish there were live cats. Also had some a little bit of weird conversations that skewed in some weird ways. So I'm going to have to deduct that from the overall score, which would be 8.
Oh.
I think we should stop going to shows during the opening or the reception.
I fucking agree.
I think we should only go during off hours where you can kind of have a more contemplative experience. Because if you start talking to somebody about how their cat has like feline leukemia, that's really gonna fuck up your viewing experience. Bless everyone though with a suffering cat.
I kept running into Glenn Helfand this weekend.
Aww,
it was so fun.
I miss him.
I saw him at Capitol.
What was he wearing? All,
the Chinese Culture Foundation of San Francisco. They have a gallery space in that building. They're in the building. They're in the Hilton downtown in Chinatown. On the 3rd floor, in case you've never been there, Kate.
I have never been there.
Glenn was looking lovely.
What was he wearing? He was looking
wonderful. Wonderful. I think
was he wearing his glasses?
He usually wears his like puffy coat. He was wearing a puffy coat.
I love him.
And he had his glasses and he's probably wearing jeans and some gym shoes.
Cute.
Ready to run. He's ready to just like pound the pavement.
Yay.
So as I was saying, I ran into Glenn a number of times and I was like, what else should I do when I'm down here? Well, I'm down here in Chinatown. I went to these two galleries, some other things probably to do. And he's like, oh, go to the Chinese Culture Foundation of San Francisco. And I said, oh yeah, I haven't been there in a long time, actually. Probably maybe 3 years. So I went in there and it was nice to kind of, it was just nice to go into an unexpected kind of space or just like, oh right, there's this other space here that I never get to. The show was, I guess, these large, very large scale, huge wall or ink on wall drawings. Mostly the first three were the first room. There were like three kind of drawings of Polaroids with women on them, like Polaroids of women, but they're just black ink drawings. I didn't pay too much attention, frankly, to the show. It wasn't my favorite. I mean, that's okay. Who cares?
Is that the whole story of the show?
No, the story is not about the show at all. The story is about
Going
well,
there.
So I ran into Glenn again there, and he introduced me to a few of the staff members that were working there. This woman named Maria Wang and Jenny Lung. And Jenny was really, Jenny and I actually ended up having a really long conversation. She's sort of the media relations person, director for the Culture Center. And we were talking a lot about, because I kind of asked her how she sees Chinatown changing, or, you know, with there's new galleries coming up into Chinatown in the neighborhood. And just, I'm always curious about how that impacts the community or the neighborhood in general. And this center has been, gosh, around for maybe like 50 years. So they've been deeply embedded in the community there for a very, very long time. So we just had a really interesting conversation.
Well, what'd she say?
Well, she didn't say anything too specific.
Oh.
I think she's like, yes, it's interesting. I'm also curious to see how these, you know, galleries that are popping up. Art is like the first step in gentrification oftentimes, you know, or artist studios, yeah. Galleries, all of that. And so I think she's very well aware of that, and as am I, and this is probably everyone who's listening. And it was just interesting to sort of like, oh, okay, she emailed me and she's like, let's organize a panel to discuss. Yeah, we'll probably have her on a show, but we were also talking about maybe getting a panel together to talk about arts and gentrification. And
the future of Chinatown.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, especially you're talking about this one gallery that only shows white artists in the midst of Chinatown.
Right. And overall score?
Of that experience, I would say 9.
Excellent. Another show that we both went to was at the San Francisco Art Commission. Their new gallery just opened.
Did you see that show?
I didn't see any of the work show. I saw the hanging from the ceiling thing. I saw the figurative sculpture with the penis and balls on the ground. Did you see that one?
Nope.
You were standing right by it.
I was?
Yep. And of course, all the Susan O'Malley posters and stuff in the videos when you came in, and those were awesome. Lots of people. It was a veritable who's who of the Bay Area art scene, and people ranging from all walks of life and all ages, so I didn't feel like the oldest person in the room.
Guillermo Gomez Pena did a little performance blessing.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that live, but I did see a video of
that
it
was
later.
Fun. He at one point, Amy Cancelo from Root Division and I think Tom DeCaney, maybe, who's the director of the Arts Commission.
Yep.
They're walking through this very crowded space with a bench, and they put it down in the middle of the space, and so that Guillermo Gomez Pena could stand on the bench to, you know, give his blessing to the gallery.
That's awesome.
That's pretty sweet.
What do you think about that space?
I want to go back to it. It's big
when it's not full of people.
I couldn't tell if like the way it was divided seemed weird or not. I don't know.
I couldn't tell a damn thing.
Regardless, I'm pretty excited for them. There was one piece, I don't remember the artist's name. There were kind of these long draping curtains or fabric that were printed on. You sort of looked at it from afar. But that work, I remember people were kind of touching and walking through the panels of fabric. And so all like Meg and Jackie were kind of
freaking out
about it.
Oh, you weren't supposed to?
You weren't supposed to. And it was being damaged and just that kind of crap.
Yikes.
I know. Tough stuff, crowded galleries.
I'm excited to go back to that place.
Me too.
Excited to see what other stuff they've got coming up.
I would say overall score 9.5.
I feel like
for opening a new space in San Francisco.
Oh, good job, Maysoon. During the hardest time to do anything in this shithole of a city, which sold itself out for
to the Super Bowl
and fucking iPads.
And little birds called tweeters.
Did you see the fucking... Somebody vandalized a sign out there for the Super Bowl that said, and it just said, Lee Robs.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That was a great one.
Supposedly those letters were removable. I give that vandal a good old 10.
Thank you. That was going to be my question. Recology also had their show for the most recent artists in residence.
Yes.
That's a hard thing to say.
It is. It's quite a mouthful.
And they were Jeremiah Barber.
And Allison Pebworth.
That's right.
Two artists that I admired greatly. I feel like Allison's centerpiece was that there was this huge wall that was sort of looked like a cabinet of curiosities where all these doors were open and revealed these little objects that she found.
And people would open them and they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, she went on at the opening. Allison had a couple of volunteers who were acting as Vannas. But there was basically
Vanna White.
But there was this one. There was this one little book that she would open that I think was from like a children's book about the world or the creation of the world, or I don't know the whole book, but basically she was showing a page of the book called How Things Started. And it's very simple, so I'm going to read it to you because it's just really sweet. I love it. Star, sun, sun, spark, spark, world, world, steam, steam, rain, rain, oceans, oceans, plants. Plants, mites, mites, insects, insects, fish, fish, frogs, frogs, snakes, snakes, birds, birds, animals, animals, monkeys, monkeys, people. And here we are. What do you suppose will be next?
I did like that one
a lot. It's just so sweet. Yeah. I fucking love it. I love how simple it is.
Overall score?
Of Allison's?
Of the whole deal.
The whole deal.
Oh, Jeremiah also had some very interesting videos where he had a found dream journal that he took excerpts from and created little like vignettes of like him and also other performers reciting these dreams in different weird scenarios, including one where like fuzzy red shit is like raining from the sky.
Oh, yeah. I love the guy in the rope bundle.
Yeah, the rope bundle floating. Was a nice one.
It was beautiful or interesting.
Beautiful and interesting aren't specific.
I know. I
okay,
just
get more specific.
Overall score.
Overall score.
9.
Solid 9. Our scale is actually not 1 through 10. It's actually like 6 through 9.
Like 5 through 10.
All right.
Did we give anyone a 10? Oh yeah, the public art.
I think we gave like
vandal.
Every half people got 10. The bell curve.
The public
is
art vandal.
Really weird looking. Shout out to someone out there. You
know
who
you are.
Shout out to you. Okay, anyhow.
Love ya.
Next week, we have a really exciting interview.
Sure do.
I won't be
sure
very
enough.
Specific about it because you'll just know who it is.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be Margaret Tedesco. Stoked. Really been loving these interviews.
We've had some good interviews lately.
We should interview
lately.
People more often.
We are. We have many more coming up, Kate.
For sure. One more thing I wanted to give a quick shout out for was another one of the awardees or whatever you call them.
Grantee.
From the fucking alternative exposure shit was the present group. which they still, I'm fucking shouting them out to all eternity because I want to see those damn charts. So you got to go to compensationfoundation.org.
You're calling them out.
I'm also calling the listener. I'm calling the listeners out to go to compensationfoundation.org to fill out some fucking surveys about whatever shows you've had anywhere, any shows anywhere in the Bay Area, at any kind of place. Go fill out a little survey about how you were compensated for that artistic labor, and so they can get all the responses and make the damn charts, because I want to see those charts. I want to see them. Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Going non sequitur on this guy.
Oh, okay. Well, that was all I had to say. What do you want to sequitate?
So you've been, I want to sequitate over this way.
Oh, yeah.
So you are currently a mentor at SOEX, and you probably eavesdrop here and there willy-nilly
on
conversations as much as you can.
In every corner
you
of
have
that
a little
building.
Recording tie that you wear occasionally. I've seen it.
Yep.
You know, spy cam style. Who the hell's the new director over there?
I have no idea.
Come
I don't
on.
Even know.
Can you give us a little bit?
I can't give you anything.
Is it a man, a woman, a nun?
Is it a nun? You're going to say a nun?
Are they from the Bay Area? Are they not from the Bay Area?
I honestly don't even know. I know they
narrowed
it
down. Have you seen anyone? You haven't seen anyone unusual walking around?
Nope.
God damn it, SOEX. Tell us who you've hired.
I don't know if they've made the final decision yet. I know they narrowed it down to three people, and then they had like a fucking arduous selection process,
as they should for
that
position.
Where they had met in state, they came for 24 hours.
Oh my god!
Straight went through feats of strength, met with every single person that has ever entered SOEX for the last 25 years, and were questioned and interrogated, and waterboarded by each one of those people. So if they even made, perhaps none of the three individuals survived.
Oh no.
And they must now restart the process anew.
This week, look for a job opening at SOEX.
No, I really don't know. I really don't know who I have. I have no idea.
It's terrible because every time I go, I'm like, Val, who is it? And she doesn't, I don't even know if she knows. She can't tell anything, and neither can Nick.
I can say that they seem to be in high spirits.
I'm sure if they haven't already decided that they're pretty damn close. I'm so excited. I really want to know. I just feel excited about it.
Is it you?
It's definitely not me. I did not apply.
Not me either. I hope whoever it is
Who
cool.
Is it? Hey, so if you got hired by SOEX in the past couple of weeks, can you give us a call?
419-351-6606. I know that the last three also were not all white men. I did ask that, and I did get a straight answer.
The last three?
The three people that are up for it were not all white dudes.
Oh. Was it all white women?
Probably. From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.